Oration and Panegyric Addressed to Origen by St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. Part 2. 3. He is stimulated to speak of him by the longing of a grateful mind. To the utmost of his ability, he thinks he ought to thank him. From God are the beginnings of all blessings, and to him adequate thanks cannot be returned. Ingratitude appears to me to be a dire evil. A dire evil, indeed, yea, the direst of evils. For when one has received any benefit, his failing to attempt to make any return, by at least the oral expression of thanks, where anything else is beyond his power, marks him out either as an utterly irrational person, or as one devoid of the sense of obligations conferred, or as a man without any memory. And again, though one is possessed naturally and at once by the sense and the knowledge of benefits received, yet unless he also carries the memory of these obligations to future days, and offers some evidence of gratitude to the author of the boons, such a person is a dull and ungrateful and impious fellow, and he commits an offense which can be excused neither in the case of the great nor in that of the small. If we suppose the case of a great and high-minded man not bearing constantly on his lips his great benefits with all gratitude and honor, or that of a small and contemptible man, not praising and lauding with all his might one who has been his benefactor, not simply in great services, but also in smaller. Upon the great, therefore, and those who excel in powers of mind, it is incumbent, as out of their greater abundance and larger wealth, to render greater and worthier praise, according to their capacity, to their benefactors. But the humble also, and those in narrow circumstances, it beseems neither to neglect those who do them service, nor to take their services carelessly, nor to flag in heart, as if they could offer nothing worthy or perfect. But as poor indeed, and yet as of good feeling, and as measuring not the capacity of him whom they honor, but only their own, they ought to pay him honor according to the present measure of their power, a tribute which will probably be grateful and pleasant to him who is honored, and in no less consideration with him than it would have been had it been some great and splendid offering, if it is only presented with decided earnestness and with a sincere mind. Thus is it laid down in the sacred writings that a certain poor and lowly woman, who was with the rich and powerful, that were contributing largely and richly out of their wealth, alone and by herself she cast in a small, yea, the very smallest offering, which was, however, all the while her whole substance, and received the testimony of having presented the largest oblation. For as I judge, the sacred word has not set up the large outward quantity of the substance given, but rather the mind and disposition of the giver, as the standard by which the worth and magnificence of the offering are to be measured. Wherefore, it is not meet even for us by any means to shrink from this duty, through the fear that our thanksgivings be not adequate to our obligations. But on the contrary, we ought to venture and attempt everything so as to offer thanksgivings, if not adequate, at least such as we have it in our power to exhibit, as in due return. And would that our discourse, even though it comes short of the perfect measure, might at least reach the mark in some degree, and be saved from all appearance of ingratitude. for a persistent silence, maintained under a plausible cover of an inability to say anything worthy of the subject, is a vain and evil thing. But it is the mark of a good disposition always to make the attempt at a suitable return. Even although the power of the person who offers the grateful acknowledgment be inferior to the desert of the subject. For my part, even though I am unable to speak as the matter merits, I shall not keep silence. But when I have done all that I possibly can, then I may congratulate myself. Be this, then, the method of my Eucharistic discourse. To God, indeed, the God of the universe, I shall not think of speaking in such terms. Yet it is from Him that all the beginnings of our blessings come. And with Him, consequently, is it that the beginning of our thanksgivings, or praises, or laudations, ought to be made. But in truth, not even though I were to devote myself wholly to that duty, and that too not as I now am, to wit, profane and impure, and mixed up with and stained by every unhallowed and polluting evil, but sincere and pure as pure may be, and most genuine and most unsophisticated and uncontaminated by anything vile, not even, I say, though I were thus to devote myself wholly and with all the purity of the newly born to this task, should I produce of myself any suitable gift in the way of honor and acknowledgment to the ruler and originator of all things, whom neither men, separately and individually, nor yet all men in concert, acting with one spirit and one concordant impulse, as though all that is pure were made to meet in one, and all that is diverse from that were turned also to that service, could ever celebrate in a manner worthy of Him. For in whatsoever measure any man is able to form right and adequate conceptions of his works, and, if such a thing were possible, to speak worthily regarding him, then, so far as that very capacity is concerned, a capacity with which he has not been gifted by any other one, but which he has received from him alone, he cannot possibly find any greater matter of thanksgiving than what is implied in its possession. 4. The Son alone knows how to praise the Father worthily. In Christ and by Christ are thanksgivings sought to be rendered by the Father. Gregory also gives thanks to his guardian angel because he was conducted by him to Origen. But let us commit the praises and hymns in honor of the King and Superintendent of all things, the perennial fount of all blessings, to the hand of Him who in this matter, as in all others, is the healer of our infirmity, and who alone is able to supply that which is lacking, to the champion and Savior of our souls, to His firstborn Word, the Maker and Ruler of all things, with whom also alone it is possible, both for Himself and for all, whether privately and individually, or publicly and collectively, to send up to the Father uninterrupted and ceaseless thanksgivings. For as He is Himself the truth, and the wisdom, and the power of the Father of the universe, and He is besides in Him, and is truly and entirely made one with Him, it cannot be that either through forgetfulness, or unwisdom, or any manner of infirmity, such as marks one dissociated from Him, he shall either fail in the power to praise Him, or, while having the power, shall willingly neglect, a supposition which it is not lawful, surely, to indulge, to praise the Father. for he alone is able most perfectly to fulfill the whole meed of honor which is proper to him. Inasmuch as the Father of all things has made him one with himself, and through him all but completes the circle of his own being objectively, and honors him with a power in all respects equal to his own, even as also he is honored. Which position he, first and alone of all creatures that exist, has had assigned to him, this only begotten of the Father, who is in him and who is God the Word. While all others of us are able to express our thanksgiving and our piety, only if, in return for all the blessings which proceed to us from the Father, we bring our offerings in simple dependence on him alone, and thus present the meet oblation of thanksgiving to him who is the author of all things, acknowledging also that the only way of piety is in this manner to offer our memorials through him. Wherefore, in acknowledgment of that ceaseless providence which watches over all of us alike in the greatest and in the smallest concerns, and which has been sustained even thus far, let this word be accepted as the worthy and perpetual expression for all thanksgivings and praises. I mean the altogether perfect and living and verily animate word of the first mind himself. But let this word of ours be taken primarily as a Eucharistic address in honor of this sacred personage, who stands alone among all men. And if I may seek to discourse of anything beyond this, and in particular of any of those beings who are not seen, but yet are more like God, and who have a special care for men, it shall be addressed to that being who, by some momentous decision, had me allotted to him from my boyhood to rule and rear and train. I mean that holy angel of God who fed me from my youth, as says the saint dear to God, meaning thereby his own peculiar angel. Though he indeed, as being himself illustrious, did in these terms designate some angel exalted enough to befit his own dignity. And whether it was some other one, or whether it was perchance the angel of the mighty council himself, the common savior of all, that he received as his own peculiar guardian angel through his perfection, I do not clearly know. He, I say, did recognize and praise some superior angel as his own, whosoever that was. But we, in addition to the homage we offer to the common ruler of all men, acknowledge and praise that being, whoever he is, who has been the wonderful guide of our childhood, who in all other matters has been, in time past, my beneficent tutor and guardian. For this office of tutor and guardian is one which evidently can suit neither me nor any of my friends and kindred, for we are all blind and see nothing of what is before us, so as to be able to judge of what is right and fitting. But it can suit only him who sees beforehand all that is for the good of our soul. That angel, I say, who still at this present time sustains and instructs and conducts me, and who, in addition to all these other benefits, has brought me into connection with this man, which in truth is the most important of all the services done me. And this, too, he has effected for me, although between myself and that man of whom I discourse, there was no kinship of race or blood, nor any other tie, nor any relationship in neighborhood or country whatsoever, things which are made the ground of friendship and union among the majority of men. But to speak in brief, in the exercise of a truly divine and wise forethought, he brought us together, who were unknown to each other, and strangers and foreigners, separated as thoroughly from each other as intervening nations and mountains and rivers can divide man from man. And thus he made good this meeting, which has been full of profit for me, having, as I judge, provided beforehand this blessing for me from above, from my very birth and earliest upbringing. And in what manner this has been realized, it would take long to recount fully, not merely if I were to enter minutely into the whole subject, and were to attempt to omit nothing, but even if, passing many things by, I should purpose simply to mention in a summary way a few of the most important points. End of part 2.